Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's check in right now with the author of the definitive book on daylight saving time, The Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time, Dr. David Perreault. Doctor, always good to talk to you. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Good to talk to you.
Why do we do this, move the clocks twice a year? Should we blame Benjamin Franklin? Did he start all this?
He did start all this. He had the idea that people were sleeping through the daylight and then having to use, in his day, candles to light the house at night. And he wanted to save money, being the frugal kind of guy he was. And he figured if he woke up a little bit earlier, closer to sunrise, he could use the sun to light his house instead of having to use the candles.
Now, this disrupts our circadian rhythm, right? Some of us more than others. You know what I'm talking about. Is that why there's a higher risk of heart attacks this week?
You have to try to separate two different things. People worry about the problems due to the time change, which there are some. But the time change makes things good for 8 months in the summer and for 4 months in the winter. So we're getting a lot of benefit from that time. Now, the thing that we just had, where we gained an hour of sleep, nobody complains very much about. But in the spring, when you lose an hour of sleep, there are some problems. Now, of course, it's no different than any of your Chicago people going to New York, and they lose an hour when they do that, or if somebody goes from London to Paris, or from Beijing to Tokyo. All over the world, a lot of people are going, traveling places where they lose an hour's sleep, and they just adjust to it because they know that when they are traveling, you can plan for it. So if you know you're going to a different time zone, you might not stay up too late the night before, you might not make too many plans the next morning, and you can minimize some of those problems. So I think a lot of those problems that we do have at the transition can be minimized just with a little better planning by most people.
Yeah, when I complain about the time change, and you know me, I do a lot of that. People always bring up jet lag, but I swear I get over jet lag faster than I get over the time change. What's wrong with me?
Well, that I'd have to spend a long time investigating.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. What about the efforts to pass legislation to do away with this and stay on either daylight saving time or standard time all year? Why hasn't that happened?
Well, the reason is that there's two different alternatives, and some people are pushing. So the people that don't like the time change, the way to eliminate the time change is to either have daylight saving time all year, and if you do that, you get very dark mornings in the winter. So people in Chicago, the sun would rise between 8:30 and 9, and every morning in the middle of winter, it would be dark. It would be cold when everybody wakes up in the dark and cold. And so people don't like that aspect of having daylight saving time year-round. The other alternative is to have standard time year-round, which is the winter time all summer. But then you'd lose all the benefits in spring, summer, and fall you get from daylight saving time, which is it reduces traffic accidents. Even though there's an increase in traffic accidents maybe the first two or three days, over the 8 months of daylight saving time, it's a reduction in traffic accidents. Mm-hmm. Reduces outdoor crime. It reduces energy usage. And most people just like to have an extra hour of daylight in the evening, rather than at 4 o'clock in the morning in this middle of summer where everybody sleeps through it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the alternatives aren't any better. They have their own problems, and so we'll probably keep what we have for a while, but we'll see.
What about a compromise? Because some have suggested permanently setting the time halfway between the two, a 30-minute shift.
Well, you might get the best of both, or you might get the worst of both. It's hard to say what would happen. That's never been really a serious proposal that some people say that, but it's never been one of the real alternatives. But you would still have that problem in the winter. It wouldn't be as bad, but you still have the problem of the sun rising very late, and especially, as I said, in the northern parts of the country and in the colder parts of the country, you're getting up in the dark and the cold. Mm-hmm. And you would also have the half hour less of be have a nice summer evening when you could stay out a little later. So it isn't clear that that's any better.
You're the world's foremost authority on this. In your opinion, what should we do? Do we still need to do any of this?
I think the current system with the problems that we have at the transition, especially the one in March, it still overall has the best benefits because it does take away all the problems of having very dark mornings in the winter by having standard time in the winter, but it gives us all the benefits of daylight saving time for 8 months of the year from March through early November. So it's a good compromise, and we do have that one problem in early March when we lose an hour's sleep. And I think the way to do it is to try to figure out what to do about that, which is, as I said, what travelers do, which is maybe plan. A lot of people don't even know that the clocks are going to change, and they stay up very late that Saturday night, and then they're zonked out the next day, too. But
yeah,
if you know that this change, so if there was a public service a campaign that said daylight saving time clock change is coming, you know, this Saturday night, maybe don't stay up too late till Saturday night. Maybe don't make too many plans early Sunday morning and try to, gradually make that change. That might eliminate the problems that many people would have.
Yeah, start reminding people more than just a day or two in advance. In Hawaii and Arizona, they don't move the clocks there, do they?
They don't, and they have two specific reasons. Hawaii is the most southern state, though you don't think of it that way. So it's the closest to the equator where they... daylight is the same, all year round. The times of sunrise and sunset don't change very much, so there's not much benefit of daylight saving time there. In Arizona, it gets so hot in the middle of the summer, 110 degrees or more in places like Phoenix, that the last thing they want in Arizona is an extra hour of daylight in the evening. They want the sun to go down and cools off a little bit. The rest of the country loves to have an extra hour of daylight in the evening in the summer because you have a nice summer evening to walk around in the daylight, but in Arizona it's so hot they're just waiting for the sun to go down. So they have two different unusual circumstances, but all the rest of the states have the system that we have, that they have of the 8 months and 4 months.
Well, Dr. Perot, if I'm elected president, I'm going to make you my secretary of time. You're going to be in charge. Because you're the expert.
At least twice a year.
All right. It's the book. By the way, can you still get this book, The Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time?
It's around. I think it's maybe you'd have to look on Amazon or somewhere and see it. It's been around a long time, so there are copies around, I think, but not like it was when it just came out.
Mm-hmm. Dr. David Perot, I always look forward to chatting with you, and I know when you get around to your next book, you'll write at length about my idea to give people an extra hour every weekend, move the clock back an hour every weekend.
People would be very happy in Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think Monday they wouldn't be so happy.
Yeah, they'd be happy but discombobulated. Thank you, Dr. Perot, and you have a good day today.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Talk to you next year.
Yes, sir.